Hello, 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 friends, and welcome to another episode of Riesling and Raven. Today's episode, reviewing Drag Race episode 7. Excuse me. Just having a bit of my coffee. So, yeah, episode 7. Last episode, we had Candy and Tamisha lip-sync against each other after the Little Black Dress challenge, and Candy sent Tamisha home. Unfortunately, Mama Tamisha went home. So when the girls come back into the workspace, Candy's actually kind of feeling bad about sending Tamisha home. They kind of reconciled and was just, they left like without any like harsh feelings or anything, and they basically like smoothed everything over and everything just like was good. So when Tamisha left, it was very hard for Candy, and so Olivia won the Little Black Dress and the, was that the disco chat? No. I don't remember. But yeah, so Olivia won, and as the girls are getting untucked and getting out of drag and whatnot, Elliot is still kind of feeling segregated from the groups and everything. Like, everyone's got their friends and they're kikiing it up, but Elliot's still isolated and is, like, alone, so kind of feeling for Elliot at this point. So, new day in the workroom, and we are finally getting our library is open reading mini challenge, and I love this one. This is always my favorite. One of my favorite reads from it was Gottmik's read for Candy, as in, we have gay man representation, we have trans representation, and from Candy, we get pug representation. I love that. It was hilarious, because it's so accurate. Unfortunately, Elliot did not do so well. I think he tried a gimmick with Candy being mad, and he had a cape, and he threw a mini cape at her and was like, now you can be super mad and fly out of here. And it just kind of fell flat. However, was that actually not as funny as it was, or was that the edit? So, questions, thoughts. Always question what you watch on television. I always recommend, when you're watching a, and I say this with air quotes, reality television or competition shows, I say that with air quotes, because we all know they are scripted to hell and super edited, and I'm just wondering, was it edited like that? Because you can edit the girls having no reaction to anything. You could have done the same thing with Gottmik. So I'm just trying to figure out, was that an edit on purpose? And then in the end, Gottmik wins the mini challenge, and we get our maxi challenge, which is an improv challenge at the Bossy Rossi After Dark. Last time we got the Bossy Rossi show, it was for season 10 with Aquaria, Cracker, Eureka. The only one I remember from that specifically was, I remember Blair yelling Miss Vanjie as a safe word. And then Aquaria and Eureka were like the sexiest babies. I remember that from the last Bossy Rossi that we got. But yeah, so the teams are four teams. Groups of three are Gottmik, Utica, and Olivia, and Rosé, Lalari, and Denali. And then the two groups of two, we have Tina and Elliot, and Simone and Candy. So the girls are getting ready to get into face and everything, and wait, not yet, but yeah, so when they get their teams and whatnot, Tina's not very excited about being paired with Elliot. She's excited because it's an improv challenge and it's going to be lots of fun for her, but she's just not excited about working with Elliot. with this challenge, Candy says she's gonna be trying to show range and not giving it her full 100 or giving it her, like, classic hood kind of attitude. But at the same time, Gottmik's kind of like, or not Gottmik, Candy, Simone. Yeah, Simone's kind of like, this may not be the challenge to do that, because Candy's thinking she's gonna go low energy and sort of like a lot like calmer, and Simone's like, this is an improv challenge, you gotta be wild, so like this may not be the challenge for you to try range. So Simone is slightly concerned. Then we have Denali and LaLaurie basically being like, this is a chance to redeem ourselves from the last acting challenge with the RuPaul Mark channel. So they're excited to try and redeem that catastrophe. Utica has a lot of experience in improv, and in the improv scene, I guess, she's known as a scene stealer. So her group, Gottmik and Olivia, are like, okay, we need to make sure we give it our 100 to match Utica's energy. And then when they're passing out the roles with Olivia, Gottmik, and Utica, Olivia and Utica want the same roles. And Utica's like, I like this role. But Olivia's like, I'm getting that role. There is no other, like, option. I'm getting that role. And so Olivia's very confident and very headstrong that that is the role that she's going to get. So, but in the end, Utica backs down and gives the role to Olivia, which is the mime role. So their group, their theme is a mime escapes from a cult, and there's a psychologist who wrote a book, Escaping Mimology, and Utica is playing Olivia's mom. So the mother of the mime is going to be there. Tina and Elliot's group is, our friendship is being torn apart by a 600-pound ass. So Tina's going to have a massive ass that is separating the friendship between her and Elliot. Simone and Candy's sketch is ex-best friends. That's kind of the only theme they get. Rosé, LaLaurie, and Denali, their theme is I'm in love with my imaginary boyfriend, or I'm pregnant by my imaginary boyfriend. So I found that to be an interesting thing. But yeah, so we get into the challenge itself, and we have Gottmik, Utica, and Olivia's group, Mime from a Cult. During this, Olivia is giving amazing physical comedy, and she has zero lines. Olivia is killing it as the mime. I found Gottmik to be okay. Gottmik was there. She was present. But Utica kind of started going off on her own thing and started kind of deviating from the overarching storyline and everything, and Utica, unfortunately, being the improv girl, she was falling a bit flat. So then we go to Tina and Elliot with 600-pound ass. Again, Elliot kind of fell flat-ish with this. I mean, both were really good at, yeah, both energy levels were good when it got down to when they were making out, and the energy just went right up there. Elliot ended up having like two oversized breasts to compensate for Tina's ridiculous butt. So I didn't really, other than their friendship being very much destroyed because of Tina's butt, I didn't get any other like character development, or like I didn't get any more story or anything other than her butt is too big, or not even that. I didn't even get her butt was too big. I just got Elliot was irritated with Tina and that, I guess, was it. And from the reaction and how they played it off, I assumed that Elliot was the one that broke the friendship off and Tina just didn't care that the friendship was over. So I kind of wish I had some more to lean into and I had more to watch and more to discover as they played it out. Then next we have Rosé Denali and Lala Ree with their imaginary boyfriends. Rosé had great characterization. She was playing backdoor ratchet, not cowgirl. Oh fuck, what is that? Something. I can't. Oh fuck. I'm trying to think of the term that is kind of like country, missing teeth, hillbilly, kind of hillbilly-ish. But yeah, so Rosé had great characterization. She had a big giant pregnant belly when she came in and was like, my boyfriend got me impregnated. And then Denali came in and she had great physical comedy as well, playing Rosé's mother, who was also pregnant by the imaginary boyfriend. And then third one to come out is Lala Ree, who I guess she was playing the, I don't know what it was. It was, I can't tell if it was like a doctor or if it was a psychiatrist or if it was like a family therapist or something, but apparently Lala Ree was also pregnant from the same boyfriend. But with the energy, Lala Ree was also flatlining in comparison to Rosé and Denali. So Denali kind of redeemed herself. Lala Ree, not so much. But yeah. Next group is Simone and Candy. They are doing their ex-best friends. Candy is actually giving good levels, surprisingly. Candy being like kind of toned down blonde New Yorker bimbo, but not New Yorker. She was more like California. And she wasn't flatlining energy. She was giving good, like, I don't know. There's a level of energy that is good both when it's high and when it's low. But Candy was actually giving a good variety compared to her normal thing. And then Simone comes in and Simone kills it. Her name was Deborah, or as Simone puts it, she is Deborah, which I found hilarious. Again, a nod back to the first acting challenge. Factory. She is now Deborah. And Simone's just giving good lines. Simone is just giving me funny, funny lines, and I'm living for it. So yeah, end of the challenge. The current guessing is that Utica, Lala Ree, and Elliot will be in the bottom. And I'm hoping the lip sync will be between Elliot and Lala Ree, because I really don't want Utica to go home. I really don't want Utica to go home. I love Utica. And I'm guessing the tops are Simone, Tina, and either Rosé or Denali. So, yeah. Next day after the challenge, girls are getting ready for the runway, and Simone is very much in her head. She feels like she did great, but she's second-guessing herself, which I feel like she killed it, so I'm upset that she's feeling like she didn't do good. And then she starts to express that her brother ended up going to prison, and she's hard on herself because she doesn't want to disappoint her mother like her brother did. And so she just carries that baggage with her with everything that she does. Then we also get Elliot and Tina having a heart-to-heart, and Elliot explains to Tina that he suffers from clinical depression, which, hashtag relatable. I was diagnosed 2 years ago. I think it was the summer of 2018 I was diagnosed with my depression, but I got a handle on that. But yeah, Elliot explains that to Tina, and then Tina kind of has a moment realizing what's up, and Tina realizes that Well, Tina explains that her mother also suffers from it, from depression as well, and mental health issues, and Tina kind of explains that she may have judged Elliot before getting to know her. And I know, never make judgments on someone without having a conversation first. So always, always, always don't take things at face value. Always ask questions and always look deeper into things. Because whatever you see at face value isn't always 100% who the person is. And I always say that. Don't take things at face value. I always try and I live that in my day-to-day life. Don't take things at face value. Always ask questions. And you will... It's basically better to ask questions in a very respectful manner than to just take things at face value and make assumptions. It's never good to just make assumptions about people. Oh my gosh, but then the energy gets picked back up again when Lalari, Mick, and Candy are like talking about Maury and how the improv challenge was kind of like those episodes of Maury where the woman's like going in being like, this is my baby, I'm pregnant, and this is the baby daddy, and then he's like, this man is not the father. And so Lalari got Mick, Elliot, Candy all relive a Maury episode where like Lalari's playing the woman being like, this is my baby daddy. Candy's like, actually, he's not the father. And then Elliot and Gottmik are pretending to be the camera and boom people who have to run and chase after the woman. And they run across the workspace. Lalari falls down the stairs. It's hilarious. It was a good moment to just bring the energy back up. It was hilarious. I thoroughly enjoyed it and appreciate them adding that. So, moving on to the main stage, and we have guest judge T.S. Madison, and we have the theme of Beaded on the runway. I had to like do some research as they were getting ready to figure out what the challenge theme was, because I was like, oh, right, I should be prepared for this to make my notes. So yeah, it is Beaded, so... It could be plastic beads, it could be draped beads, it could be crystals as beads chain linked together. Just beads, 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 and beads. So before we get onto the runway for my critiques and review, let's have a quick message from our sponsors. Hello, hello, hello. Just want to shout out to my Patreon patron, Robin Fisher. Thank you so much, girl, for your monthly contribution. You are why I can pay my phone bill. Thank you very much. And for anyone else who would like to see exclusive content, get very exclusive pre-mature access to some of my designs and collections... My fashion collections from Claw Couture under Clon Co. Feel free to look me up on patreon.com/ravensclaw. Pick one of the tiers. We have a $5, $10, and $20 tier. And yeah, just be part of the exclusive family and help me pay my bills. Because every cent and every dollar count and matters. So thank you so much, Robin. Love you. Again, that is patreon.com/ravenessclaw. Now let's get back to the podcast. Alrighty, on the runway, we have category is Beat It. So first up, we have Denali in a fucking gorgeous chandelier inspired outfit. I am getting all of the Phantom of the Opera chandelier fantasy realness from this. This is fucking stunning. I am in love. I cannot get over how fucking stunning it is. I love the champagne color underneath her being like kind of nude, and then all of the gorgeous like white diamonds and beads and everything. Stunning. And then after her, we have Gottmik as Anal Beads, which is fucking genius. She's literally a full-on latex, like, anal beads all over her. And yes, there is an anal option. Love it. It's my favorite. I love it. The concept is there. I love it. And then after her, we have Rosé. And later on, you see up close, it is the beads that, like, you get as a child that you put on a pinboard grid thing in different shapes, and then you iron it and it becomes a solid, like, decorative thing, shape, piece thing. And she did her entire outfit of those. After seeing it up close, I like it better. Seeing it from far away, I was like, okay, it's colorful. And I assumed that it was just a lot of embroidered beads. But then at closer look, it is the iron-on beads, which I thought was cute. It's like bright, it's colorful, I love the yellow in it. It's cute. And then after her, we have Olivia Lux. And I have questions. So this is the same hair that Candy wore for her bag challenge. Because looking at it, the shape of the puffs and the hair are the same, and the little barrette clips or like elastics with the beads on them is also the same. So I'm like, this is the same hair that Candy wore. So are the judges not going to read her for wearing a hair that they've already seen, like, on another girl? Or is it... because it's the exact same hair. So, clearly, one of them borrowed it. Either Candy borrowed it from Olivia or Olivia borrowed it from Candy. And it's the same hair. So, I was like, I don't know how I feel about that. But, I mean... at the same time, if I were on there and I didn't have a hair that would, if I didn't have a hair, yeah, it's just, I guess she was doing Squirrel Girl, and Candy Muse also did, Schoolgirl, like, with her bag, and then Olivia did this with a little jump ropey beaded belt around a fun cute skirt, and the, yeah, she has like a New York City skyline on her shirt there. It's cute, I get it, it's childlike, it's fun, but again, I'm just about the hair and seeing the same hair twice, even though it was on two separate girls. That's all I'm saying. And then, like, after that, we have fucking Candy Muse in the most opulent outfit ever. She has the fur. She has the crystals. She has this oversized hat draping around her. And she is fucking dripping. It is stunning. I'm fucking in love with it. I fucking love it. I cannot love it, like, enough. And then after Candy, we have Lullaree. And she's kind of... see, I'm slightly... disappointed, because it's just not, I don't know, I'm just not as much of a fan as Lullaree's outfit. Like, it is dripping in beads, it is giving me fringe shiny fantasy, but I don't know, I'm just not as in love with it as I am the other outfits. So I'm disappointed, and it's kind of upsetting. It's, yeah. The colors are great. They're Mardi Gras beads. Yeah, that's it. They're green, purple, and gold, so... that's all right. And then, after, we have Tina Burner in a gorgeous, actually full-fledged Mardi Gras outfit. So we have two Mardi Gras themed outfits. So Mardi Gras beads are obviously common. Obviously, when you hear beads, you think Mardi Gras beads, party beads. I love the anal bead option. I still love that. I love that. But, oh, Tina's. I wish she kept the bottom part of the skirt instead of making it short. But, yeah, Tina's attention to detail, I just love a bit more than Lala Ri's. Like, it's almost jester, kind of like with the split colors, with the green fabric on the one side and the gold on the other, and then the gold, green, and purple beads over the boobs kind of make a cone bra shape. And then she does the kind of clownish, mime-esque makeup. I like this. This is much more of a serve and the level that I like compared to Lala Ri's. And granted that those two are the two Mardi Gras themed outfits that are so far walking down the runway, I love Tina Burner's way much more. So again, that just pushes the feeling that Lala Ri's was kind of a letdown. And then after Tina, we have fucking Simone in this absolutely stunning African warrior princess realness. I fought, and she has the laid dreaded hair. Wait, is it in dreads or is it? Yeah, yeah, it looks like it's in box braids. And she fucking has her name spelt in beads on the back of the hair. It's a serve. And again, showing off her body. She always has the most stunning skin. Like, she is the she is the literal epitome of the opposite of ashy. She is stunning. Her skin is glowy. It is glistening. She moisturizes like there is no moisturizer left on this earth. Like, she has bought up all the moisturizer and she bathes in it twice a day, once in the morning, once at night. She is gorgeous. She takes care of her skin like she should. It is gorgeous. And the outfit, again, she is playing back to her roots. I love it when she plays to her roots. Like, I'm at a loss for words. And then after Simone, we have Elliot in one of my favorite decades, the 20s inspired dress. It's a little short for the 20s. It's just like a couple inches short, but I love it. The hair is right. The hair fascinator is right. The outfit is just, I love it. And again, this is a Mardi Gras colored theme. So there's the gold, there's the purple, and there's the green. And then she has a mesh top illusion holding the dress up and a collar. And honestly, the way she's selling the garment is what I'm buying. She's selling it and I'm buying it. I love this 20s-esque, I love this 20s experience. She is giving me mashed potato on the runway. Like, in her dance, not in the outfit. Oh, and then she has nude gloves with diamonds on them. Oh, I didn't notice that. Oh, I love that. Again, details. And then after Elliot, was that it? No. And then we've got then we have Utica in this absolutely gorgeous, like, almost Shakespearean bloody bride. She is giving me full Shakespearean collar ruffles. She is giving blood at the bottom of the dress. She has this line work of boning, or maybe it's ribbon, that all lead to the front of her crotch, but it's like in a tasteful way because then the lines divide up and go everywhere else. And she's giving the short hair again. So theme here, short hair. She has a long ass veil. There's a lot of there's a lot of oh yeah. Yeah, there's the beads. She is dripping in beads all over herself. I almost was gonna be like, she has a lot of jewelry, but they're beads, so never mind. But yeah, she is dripping in beads and I'm feeling everything. Like, there's a lot going on, but it's beads, so that's the point. And oh, is that a red? It looks like she has a kind of red bodysuit with an open chest and abdomen underneath it. That's cute. That's a cute touch. But I love that train. I love that train. It's almost like she could have wore that on, like, the train runway. Okay, so that was Utica as the bride, Gottmik as the anal beads, Tina in her clown mime Mardi Gras look, Candy in her absolutely opulent gorgeous outfit, Lollarie in her meh Mardi Gras bead outfit, Denali in her chandelier realness, Olivia in her schoolgirl same wig that Candy wears, and Rosé in her very fine beaded the iron together beads, Simone in her African Glamazonian warrior realness, and Elliot in his 1920s flapper bead realness. So, after the runway, I am still guessing that Lollarie and Utica will be in the bottom, because those outfits, Utica's only because there was a lot going on and the beads were almost kind of getting swallowed up by the rest of the garment. And Lollarie just because her outfit was not at the same level as some of the other outfits, concept or execution. And then I'm guessing, yeah, that was just the bottom actually, I didn't get the tops. So the judges narrow them down and they call Tina, Gottmik, Denali, and Rosé. And those four are safe. So, Denali, Rosé, and Tina, the three that I thought would be in the top, are safe. And now I don't know what to think. So they go in and they critique the girls. So Lollarie, they liked her runway, but there's a rip on the side that Michelle notices, and when there's something like that, that's all Michelle sees. And she was also forgettable in the challenge. I didn't even notice there was a rip in Lollarie's outfit. I just was kind of underwhelmed and distracted by the underwhelmedness. But yeah, so she was forgettable in the challenge and she had a rip, and it wasn't a wow factor outfit. And then we go to Olivia, and Olivia killed the challenge, and they liked her outfit. They thought it was cute, and they didn't say anything about the wig. So I guess you can wear each other's wigs and not get called out for it? I don't know. And then they go to Utica, and they loved her runway. Loved her runway. And then in the challenge, they thought she was unique. But almost to the point where it was almost kind of confusing because she was starting to go off in these tangents and whatnot, like about Starbucks and drink. And it was just confusing for them to watch Utica in the challenge. So after that, we have Candy, and they loved Candy to pieces. They thought she was fantastic in the challenge, and they ate up her runway. I ate up her runway. I loved her runway. It was fucking stunning. And then after Candy, we have Simone as Deborah. And she killed the challenge, obviously. Anytime she does something funny, like making up a new way to pronounce things, instead of Deborah, Deborah, instead of factory, it's factory. Love. Simone's really, really hilarious. And then stunning runway, playing back to her African roots. Stunning.
Okay.
And then after Simone, we have Elliot, where fantastic runway, loved her runway, but she was slightly dry in the challenge in comparison to Tina, who kind of overshadowed her, because obviously Tina is a powerhouse of energy, so that is obviously going to be to her detriment. So, at this point now, before they actually announce things, I am guessing that the tops will be Candy, Simone, and Olivia, and the bottoms are Elliot, Utica, and Lollarie. and I'm guessing that Candy is gonna win just because that outfit was so amazing. And in a turn of events, Candy is safe and Simone is safe. And Olivia's actually the winner. I don't agree. No. I do not think Olivia was the winner of this day. Mm-mm. Challenge or runway, I did not enjoy Olivia. Like, I thought Candy was for sure gonna win. I thought that would have been a great twist story by the producers to have Candy in the bottom last week and then have her win in the top this week, because she killed the challenge. And her runway was fucking amazing. And again, they completely sent Denali to the Untucked Lounge as safe, but Denali came out in a fucking chandelier and she was hilarious in the challenge as Rosé's mother. Like, what? I don't know. This was a weird episode for me. So, Simone and Candy are safe. Olivia is the winner, and Utica is safe, but Utica was in the bottom. It was between Elliot, LaLaurie, and Utica, but Utica is safe, and the lip-syncing duo is Elliot and LaLaurie. So they have to lip-sync to Kelly Clarkson's Whole Lotta Woman. Honestly, both of them, once it started, both of them were fucking amazing. They were both epic, and I loved both of them and their performing levels. Like, both girls were giving their 100, and I honestly was like, I don't know who's gonna go, because LaLaurie's killing it, but Elliot's, like, pulling out everything, and Elliot's the dancer. And even Gottmik mentions that, like, Elliot did two splits in a row, but this is the first time that Gottmik was not bored with two splits in a row. So, because, yeah, Elliot drops into a front split with both legs going out to the sides, and then he drops into a side split with one leg going forward and the other leg going back, I think. But, yeah. And the other thing that I particularly notice is Elliot playing into the lyrics. So Elliot's actually listening to what it is that she's lip syncing, and she's listening to the words, and she's playing the words off as like a monologue. So like when you're lip syncing, you're not just mouthing words, you're actually listening to the words that are saying and you're playing off of them. So she's listening to the words and she's actually acting out what it is that she is lip syncing and saying. So I just think that that puts that much more of an edge onto a lip sync when you know what it is that you're lip syncing and you know the words, and but know the words beyond just knowing them and having them in your head and mouthing them properly. You're knowing what you're saying as if you're memorizing a monologue, and you're characterizing what it is that this song is saying, and you're personifying that. That is where I appreciate a lip sync more. When a girl actually listens to what she's saying and she plays it off as a character, as opposed to just saying the words and mouthing them. So, honestly, both of them were giving their 100, and some people were thinking it was gonna be a double Shantae, and I wouldn't have been disappointed with a double Shantae. However, LaLaurie got eliminated. And honestly, I'm not too upset about that, because, again, LaLaurie fell flat in the challenge and was disappointing on the runway for me. So I think it was just her time. But I'm still upset that fucking Olivia won and Candy didn't. I'm not a Candy fan, but honestly, I feel like Candy knocked it out of the park. And I'm just upset. Or Simone. Like, Simone could have won too. Like, Simone's runway was stunning, and Simone was fucking amazing in the challenge. So that's just my two cents on that. Again, they knocked Olivia another. They tossed Olivia another win. But I just have a feeling. I'm just going off of what I'm feeling, and I'm trying to remember that feelings aren't facts. I had a conversation with a friend yesterday, and I explained to him that feelings aren't facts. just because you're feeling a certain way doesn't mean that what you're feeling about is factual, and the events that happen that are making you feel this way are factual. So how I'm feeling isn't fact. It's just how I'm feeling. And what I'm feeling is that they're going to give Olivia a few wins, but she's not going to make it to the very... I feel like Olivia's not going to win. She also could win because, honestly, there have been queens who have won the competition without winning challenges or without winning the most challenges. I mean, like, Olivia hasn't lip-synced yet that I can recall. Maybe she lip-synced once, but, like, Olivia has won two challenges, but there are queens who have won the most challenges and not win the competition. And there are queens who have won the competition and not won any challenges or won one challenge. And there are queens who have won who have lip synced in the bottom. Hashtag Raja. I love Raja, honestly, though. I fucking love Raja. But yeah, so that was episode 7 of RuPaul's Drag Race season 13. And I'm recording this slightly late, so today is Valentine's Day, so happy Valentine's Day to all you lovely peoples out there, you singles, you couples, you not sure where your relationship stands, peoples. I understand that feeling. And it's also the day after my best friend's birthday. She is officially 25. She is a mom. She is killing the game. And I just want to make sure I wish my best friend, Danny, a happy birthday, girl. Happy birthday. I love you. You're my ride or die. When you die, I'm coming with you. Okay. So... that is everything. That is all. So, goodbye, everyone. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are, whatever time it is, where you are. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, so it is more than appropriate to pour yourself another glass of Riesling or rosé. It is very possible Riesling and Raven may turn into rosé and Raven. But until then, I'm just gonna add some Baileys to my coffee, because fuck. Okay, have a good day. Bye.